Scripture lesson is from the fourth chapter of Luke, verses 14 through 21. Listen for God's word for us this day. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. I have a really quick little thing to tell. I grew up in the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area, and back in 2005, I was had started as chaplain at Schuyler Hospital and Seneca View Skilled Nursing Facility, but I wasn't serving a church, and I was invited to preach at my home church where I grew up. And guess what passage I had that day? It wasn't this one because I didn't read on, but it was where the people take Jesus out and stone him. I said, "I hope you're not going to do that to me today, because hometown crowds are tough." Well, these people of Nazareth had watched Jesus grow up, and they were very curious about him. You know, most of the young men followed in their father's footsteps and stuck around town, but they wondered what made Jesus, who had grown up here in Nazareth, do the odd thing and leave home, leave a secure job for a life on the road. Word about him was spreading far and wide, and people were eager for him to visit their synagogues to teach. And so on one Sabbath, early in his ministry, Jesus visited his home synagogue in Nazareth, the very place where he had learned the scriptures when he was growing up as a child. You could have heard a pin drop that day as he made his way to the front, took the scripture scroll in his hands, unrolled it, and prepared to read. And the people wondered, what would he choose to read? What was he going to say? Perhaps Jesus would explain what he was aiming to accomplish. And sure enough, Jesus laid out his agenda before his family and friends in Nazareth. It came straight out of Scripture, straight from Isaiah chapters 61 and 58. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he closed the scroll, rolled it back up again, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down to preach, which was the custom at that time for the rabbi to sit while he talked about what he had read. And then Jesus said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Well, at first, everybody spoke well of Jesus. They could easily picture themselves among the oppressed, you know, those Romans out there, how they longed for God to make good on this promise for them by moving the Romans out of Palestine, freeing them to rule themselves again. That's their agenda. But what is Jesus' agenda? It's to go down where people are in pain. It's to preach the good news and do the good news, make it real for the poor, the sick, the hurting, the brokenhearted, the captive, the oppressed, the sinful, the outcast. Who is on Jesus' agenda? People in pain. Jesus was deliberate and determined to maintain that agenda, but it wasn't without struggle. Only a few chapters before, he had wrestled with the devil in order to keep his focus where it ought to be. The devil, the adversary of God and of God's people, made a mighty effort to derail Jesus' agenda. "It's about you," the devil insisted out in the wilderness. "Since you are the Son of God, use your power. Make this stone become bread. Eat and take care of yourself." The devil took Jesus way up high and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. "This can be yours," promised the devil, "if you follow my agenda." "Do something spectacular," the devil urged. "Throw yourself down from the top of the temple and let people watch the angels catch you. That's what scripture says, isn't it? Then the people will have to listen to you." "It's about you," the devil said in different ways. "It's about your ambition and your achievements. You and your interests are at the center. With this kind of power, just think all you could do." Jesus had to be deliberate and focused not to buy into the devil's agenda. To resist, Jesus stuck close to the scriptures. "Humanity doesn't live by bread alone," he replied. "Worship only God. Don't put the Lord your God to the test." And when Jesus spoke of his mission in Nazareth, it came straight out of scripture. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Jesus' purpose wasn't to go up high and lord it over people, coercing them, forcing them to do his will. His purpose was to go down where the people were, the people in pain, and to do something about it, to lift them up, set them free. Jesus isn't the only one who has had to wrestle with the devil to keep from getting sidetracked from this agenda. Sidetracking can happen easily, in the twinkling of an eye. That's what happened in Isaiah's day. The people of God seemed to be doing all the right things, keeping the rules, fasting regularly, putting on sackcloth and lying in ashes, being at church, so to speak, every time the doors opened. And yet, they missed the heart of the matter. They missed God's agenda. "This is my agenda," says the Lord in Isaiah 58. "Break the chain of injustice. Get rid of exploitation in the workplace. Free the oppressed. Cancel debt. Share your food with the hungry. Invite the homeless poor into your homes. Put clothes on those that are ill-clad. Be available to your own families." In other words, God said to the people in Isaiah's day, "Life is not just about you. Religion is not just about your needs. It's not just about your personal salvation. My agenda is your agenda." God stated that mission again in Isaiah 61 in the Song of the Servant. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, baptized me to do this." The mission of God's servant in Isaiah 61 is the mission of all God's servants. Drifting from that agenda can happen so subtly, so imperceptibly. It happened in Jesus' day as well. Many good people were busy enjoying God's blessings for themselves, believing they were entitled to those blessings. They refused to believe that God might plan to bless the Gentiles too. It's about me. It's about us. We're the favored ones. They enjoyed their status, and they often thought that people in a bad way must have done something to deserve it. No, it's not just about you, declared Jesus. It's about the poor and the downtrodden, the sick and the sinful. The good news is for them as well. It's the agenda. And Jesus stuck to that agenda. Though he was criticized left and right for it, in preaching, teaching, and action, Jesus stuck to the servant's agenda. He went down to where the pain was, touching the outcasts, be they outcast due to leprosy or some other illness, or outcast due to immoral behavior. We hear it in Scripture. Surely he knows what kind of woman that is touching him. The well-to-do, morally fit people exclaimed indignantly when a woman with a dirty reputation washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. Think about it. Jesus kept close company with sinners, welcomed people of all sorts into his fellowship, just as the Father in Jesus' famous parable threw his arms around a totally undeserving son and threw a party for him on top of that. Jesus lifted up a woman bent over with a spinal problem. He set her free. Jesus even lifted people from death. And not only did Jesus go down among the lowly, he issued strong warnings to those who were on top in the world's eyes. If you've got means, you've got to use them to do good to the poor, or else you'll end up like the rich man in torment because he never did what he could to help poor Lazarus on his doorstep, Jesus said. Jesus told some pretty scary parables against people who refused to share and be generous. Jesus says, no, it's not just about you. The life of faith is not just about you. It's not about lifting yourself, securing yourself, living for yourself. It's about lifting others, healing others, helping others, loving others. My agenda is your agenda, Jesus says over and over again. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, Jesus told the congregation at Nazareth. He went on to give that agenda to his disciples with the power and the authority to proclaim good news, cast out evil spirits, and heal people. The good news is not just fulfilled in our hearing. The good news is fulfilled in our doing. Christ's agenda is clear, but also hard to stick to. If the sheer volume of the needs doesn't discourage the church, the necessity and demands of living are enough to start moving the focus away from serving others to serving the self. Of course, Christians need to see to our own physical and spiritual maintenance as individuals, families, and as congregations. Of course we need the Lord to care for us and heal us too. Of course we want to survive as a congregation and keep the salt shaking and the light glowing here. Every church wants that. But unless churches regularly return to Jesus and lay our agenda next to his for examination, the next thing we know, we're focused on what keeps us insiders satisfied and comfortable. We start thinking that numbers and account balances are the measure of how we're doing as a church. But the report Jesus is interested in is this. Did you go down to the place of pain? Did you seek to serve the poor and powerless? Did you do what you could to help lift up the downtrodden? Did sinners hear of my gracious love for them through you? You know, every year, Presbyterian congregations fill out an annual statistical report that goes to Presbytery and then on to national headquarters. And unfortunately, in my opinion, this report largely focuses on numbers and money. There's not much room for reporting on how a congregation is doing on Christ's agenda. What about a ministry report to the Lord? What would such a report from North Presbyterian Church look like? I guess we might find out in a little bit at the annual meeting after worship. Yes, Jesus Christ does proclaim good news to the poor, to underdogs of all kinds. Yes, he does lift people up. He does set people free from sin and sickness and death. And today, that word is fulfilled in our hearing and in our seeing and sensing, for the Lord has done great things for us. But let that word also be fulfilled in our doing, now and always. Amen.